Morning, everyone. Great to be with you this morning. Even better to have Sue with me. You're thinking, what have they done with their foster daughter? She's on a sleepover, so this was our chance to steal away and for Sue to come and share the experience. So we spent the night last night in Winchester and made something of it. So it's great and lovely. Sue knows you really well, if you're wondering, because, of course, through lockdown, we were engaging with services here. So where she knows who you are. I'm conscious the last time I was here, I didn't have quite enough copies of Voice of Hope, you know, the Bible notes which I write. I brought a few more copies just in case somebody was desperate for a copy. They're free if you get to them first. So lovely to have this opportunity of choosing a psalm. I don't normally get the ability to choose what I preach from when I'm here, which is a blessing all of its own, but I was given the opportunity to choose, and I chose to preach from Psalm 118, as you've heard, which is just a fantastic psalm, full of praise and worship. I've actually spent quite a few weeks of my life, not months, but weeks of my life, in Benedictine monasteries in this country and in France. And if you've never done that, it is a very remarkable experience to be with monks for a number of days, to become part of their life. And I've gone on retreat, normally with other church leaders, which has been fantastic, fascinating. I wouldn't want that life all the time. Sue needs to know. I wouldn't want that life all the time. But wonderful to be with a worshipping community. They worship Benedictines, if you are not familiar with them, eight times a day, starting at 4:30 in the morning, and the final time of worship compline is at 7:30 in the evening. So I suppose if you go to bed at about 8 o'clock, you can get up at 4:30 in the morning, can't you? But they have that ritual of worship, and I didn't go to all the services of worship, just in case you thought I was very godly. But I went to many of them, and the most remarkable thing, and I think this is normal practice amongst the Benedictines, is that they read through the whole of the Psalms every week. They sing their way through. And that is a wonderful experience, an amazing experience, because the Psalms comprehend life. Yes, they're full of worship and praise and glorifying God for his greatness, but there's a lot of anger going on as well, a lot of disappointment. Lots of people being really angry with God because he seems to have forgotten them. There's a lot going on in the Psalms. And basically, wherever you are in life in this moment, and will be in different places, the Psalms are for you. The Psalms will speak to you. This particular psalm is one that was used during the Passover. Wasn't true of all of them, but this particular psalm was used during the Passover, and it's the last of what are known as the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. And as we heard it together, we heard a lot of it's very personal, isn't it? Very, very personal. So it's like a testimony. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord. Verse 5, he answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me, for he is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. He goes through then an account which shows that he was a king. We don't know which king. There are a number of possible candidates, but he clearly was a king. He says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. That must have been from experience. All the nations surrounded me, but the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. So it's a very personal testimony. And what I want to say to you this morning is, as we worship God, our worship must begin with us. What God has done in our lives. He'd been through some horrendous times, but he'd experienced the faithfulness of God through those times. The most important thing for all of us is that we don't forget what God has done in our lives, that we actually call to mind the things that God has done for us. One of the greatest sins that you'll find amongst God's people throughout the Bible is forgetting You think in the wilderness wanderings. Very quickly, they forgot what the Lord had done. He had rescued them out of Egypt. Miraculously, incredibly, he brought them through the Red Sea and liberated them. But very quickly, they were moaning. They forgot what the Lord had done. And actually, as you go through the Old Testament, time and again, the story of the disaster was that they had forgotten what God was like. They'd forgotten the goodness of God. We need to go out of our way to remind ourselves. Because as we come to worship, there will only be vitality and reality to our worship if it's rooted in our experience of God. We need to regularly trigger the memory of what God has done in our lives. It wouldn't be a bad exercise, in fact, it would be a very good exercise, I think, for any of us to sit down maybe this afternoon before the football and write a timeline of your life. Some people didn't realize there's a football match this afternoon. We pray for them later. But write a timeline of your life. You know, and just think of the ways in which the Lord has blessed you. And you think, wow, you know, I would not have come through that time if it were not for the Lord. This year marks 40 years since I became a minister, was ordained as a minister. And I met with a friend this past week who's been a minister for pretty much all that time. And it was a lovely conversation, had lunch together, but it was a natural thing for us just to reflect on the goodness of God. We've been through some scrapes. There have been ups, there have been downs. Not going to tell you now, but I mean, we've been through various things because 40 years happens to be quite a long period of time. You know, stuff happens, but God has been faithful. That was wasn't the time of testimony. We're just sharing our stories and saying the Lord has been so good. We've been so blessed. The Lord has been with us. So let's be clear about this. As we worship God, it's rooted in what we have personally experienced of God. It must be rooted in that. If it's just singing songs, you might as well be singing ABBA or something else. You know, there's not a lot of point in it, frankly. But if we're coming truly to worship, it's rooted in what God has done in our lives. But it mustn't stop there. And so what we have delightfully in this psalm is both the personal testimony to what God has done and then the sharing of it with others. And actually, an awful lot of it is very clearly corporate worship, isn't it? So from verse 2, let Israel say, his house endures forever. And you can almost hear the different choirs singing and exactly who these different groups are. We can't actually quite work out. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, that's clear enough, that's the priests, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. We're not quite sure exactly what these different groups are. It doesn't matter. Just everybody needs to share in this. Everybody needs to be part of this chorus of worship to God. Why? Because we've all got our own individual, unique stories of what God has done. The reason we love, and in this church supremely, I know, we love to hear testimonies. We love baptisms, don't we? We love those moments when we hear personally what God has done in somebody's life. It's just fantastic to hear that. And probably the main reflection you have when you hear somebody's testimony is you think, wow, that's so different from my story. Brilliant. It's so different from my story. And we all bring our different stories. Some of you have been Christians only a very short while. Some of you cannot remember a time in your life when you didn't know the Lord. And that's the richness of being together, isn't it? We come from different backgrounds. We've had different jobs. We have different education with different opportunities. All of that. So many differences. But actually, we come together and we sing with one voice. Why? Because God is a great God and we have that shared story of what God has done. So, yes, it's personal, but it must be corporate. It must be shared together. In Hebrews, the writer says this, let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as we see the day approaching. I believe we need to encourage one another in corporate worship. encourage one another to be together. Be alert to those who still haven't rejoined us after the COVID period. There are folk, and it's their choice, get that totally. But we want to encourage them, and all the more as the number of opportunities to do so declines, as it does in the nature of life. You know, I mean, let's encourage one another. We need to be together. You know, as you go out tomorrow, just say to somebody, it was just so good to be with my Christian brothers and sisters. And to take your moment to praise God and to let other people know how good it is to praise the Lord. Let's treasure these opportunities to be together. Okay? So worship is something personal, but it's something which must be shared. Must be shared. For all those lovely people who say, I can worship God perfectly well in my back garden. First of all, you think, well, I'd love to see your back garden to know why it's so stimulating to worship. But quite apart from that, you say, actually, you're wrong. Because actually, we need one another. God wants us to be together, however lovely your back garden is. We need to be together in one place to worship him. As we come together to worship God, we need to come continually with thanksgiving. And that's the note of this song, isn't it? This psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And as Richard rightly said, it's the final verse as well. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Just for a moment, what I'd like to do, and I've asked myself the question as I've prepared this, why is it so important to keep giving thanks to God? Okay, we said, yeah, I've got a personal story, we'll share it together, but why do we need to give thanks to God? I've got three reasons why we need to be committed to giving thanks to God. And I want to point out, before I quite get there, is to say, this is a choice we need to make. A choice to be thankful. A choice to say, I'm going to live a life that is thankful to God. Because you could choose to be grumpy. It's a life choice that's open to you. Some make the choice. Let's be grumpy. Let's spend a life of grumpiness. Don't look anywhere in particular, as you but some do. Or you could choose to be cynical. And many are. We live in a very cynical society. You could choose to be cynical. You could choose to be always negative. And you'd always have loads of evidence to support your theory. There's always plenty of negativity around, but you could choose to be negative if you want to. You could choose. Or you could choose, deliberate choice, choose to be thankful. And what I'm trying to sell to you this morning is God wants us to be a people who choose to be thankful. Who choose to be thankful. Why? Because everything we have and everything we are has come to us as a gift from God. That's a fairly substantial basis for doing it, isn't it? Everything we have, everything we are has come as a gift from God. This moment, your breath in this moment, it's a gift from God. You don't have some sort of right to it. God has chosen to give you the gift of this day, chosen to give you the gift of your family, of your possessions, your background, all that you are. So we need to be thankful. We need this lovely expression, attitude of gratitude, to fix in this attitude of gratitude and say, I'm going to be that kind of person. Could be grumpy, it's an option. Could be cynical, could be negative about everything, could do those things, but I choose to be thankful. The importance of thankfulness, I think, before anything else, is it keeps us focused on God. You know, if you choose grumpiness, if you choose to be negative about something, I actually believe you're going to be pushing God away. I think that's what happens. But if you're living close to God, you're just going to have that attitude of thankfulness to him, and it's going to draw you closer to him. If your lives are focused on God, then you'll be able to say with the psalmist, the Lord is with me. I won't be afraid. What can mere mortals, what can anyone else do to me? I'm safe. I'm secure. We need to keep our lives focused on God, and that continual theme of thanksgiving throughout the whole day, reflected in that last song, 1,000 Reasons. You know, it's all there, isn't it? whatever happens, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, from the beginning of life to the end of life, we just choose to be thankful. Why? Because God is faithful. He won't let us down. Paul was particularly into this, wasn't he? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speak to one another. I love that expression. Just speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's just part of your language. It's just how it is. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're all inclined to hear that verse and say, Paul, are you serious? Always giving thanks. What about those days when nothing goes right? Do we not have a reasonable basis on that day for being grumpy? And Paul would say to us, no, always giving thanks. He had a right to say it, didn't he? He was in prison when he wrote this. It wasn't going to be a laugh to be a prisoner in those days. Not much of a laugh these days, but it was tough to be a prisoner. But he's always giving thanks. Why? Because even if the roof falls in, or the oasis explodes. We wish we were here. Whatever happens, we have reason to give thanks to God. We've been through some stuff, haven't we, as I draw to the end of my ministry with you over the next few weeks. You look back over the last 4.5 years, we've been through some stuff, haven't we? A lot of sadness, a lot of dear friends who've left us, a lot of friends. Who are in the Lord's presence, others who've moved to other places, all of that. But we've been through some COVID, who'd have guessed, 4.5 years ago. Wow. You know, we've been through so much stuff, but I want to affirm, we have reason to give thanks to God. We're not denying the difficulties. We're not denying the sadnesses. They were real sadnesses. The tears were real tears. Of course they were. But we give thanks to God. My friends, keep giving thanks to God, because as you do it, as a discipline, so I'm going to be thankful to God day by day, whatever happens, not neglecting the difficulties, not massaging them, pretending or not. Difficulties will be there, but I'm going to give thanks to God. Why? Because every single day I've got reason to do so, because he is faithful and he won't let us down. So that's the first reason for having this attitude of gratitude, because as we do so, we keep our lives focused on God. Secondly, if you have an attitude of gratitude, you'll understand the importance of today, this day. And we have in this psalm this beautiful verse, don't we? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And of course, you know, this was a special day of praise and worship, and it was used as part of the Passover and all of that. I know that. But it is a statement we can make of any day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Every single day, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and glad in it and be glad in it. And because it's the Lord's day, because the Lord is at work in this day, so the Lord is able to do amazing things amongst us. And I love the previous verse, previous couple of verses, where he says, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. What's that about? If you can imagine the process of building with stone, and I can hardly do so, but I can begin to do so. The process that a stonemason will go through is he knows his stone. He's got a resource of stone. And he's looked at the different shapes of the stone. And because he's experienced, he knows what he's going to do with that stone. He thinks, you know, for the working week, I've got it mapped out. I know that big boulder I'm going to use there and all of that. But he's looked at a particular stone and says, useless. Never be able to use that one. He's experienced. He's used a lot of stone in his time. But he's looked at a particular stone and said, don't want to use that. But here's the miracle. The Lord says, actually, the stone the builders rejected as useless has become the capstone. It's become the most important stone of all. It's become the crucial stone on which the building depends. And you know that that verse is quoted in the New Testament to refer to Jesus. rejected as useless, rejected by most people as an irrelevance, but actually at the heart of God's purposes for humankind. That's our God, a God who does surprising things, a God who works in ways that we would never have expected. As we worship God, as we commit ourselves to being a thankful people with our lives focused on Him, we come to understand the importance of today, this unique gift the Lord has given us today to use to His glory. My friends, treasure each day. We don't know, do we? We don't know how many of these day things we've got. That's in God's hands. We may have loads and loads of them. May just have a few. We don't know. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we take the treasure of today's day and use it to worship God. You just don't know, do you? You know that I mentor a number of people. One of the most extraordinary privileges of my life, 8 people who I regularly meet with in a disciplined way to share life with. They're of different ages. I mean, the 40s, 50s, 60s, I suppose. The youngest of them all, the fittest of them all, is in the gym most days. Not obsessively, but he's just very fit in the gym every day. Had a heart attack 2 months ago. Who'd have guessed? Do you know, the fittest of my, by far the fittest of my 8 mentees, had a heart attack. He mercifully, it's a great story actually, well, I won't tell you now, but it's a 1-1-1 story of them handling him fantastically well, incredibly quickly, and getting action taken, and within a short period he had 2 stents fitted, and he's okay. So that's okay. I'm just illustrating the fragility of life. You just don't know. He could easily not be with us now. God wants us to treasure today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Let's not count on 10,000 days that we think are due to us, or 100 or whatever. This is the day the Lord's graciously given to you. Rejoice and be glad in it. 3 reasons why we need an attitude of gratitude. Because as we have that attitude, we keep our eyes and our lives focused on God. Secondly, we come to understand what a treasure today is. And thirdly, living with an attitude of gratitude gives us confidence about the future. And that's a big issue now, isn't it? You talk to people about what's going on in the world, and there is, as it would seem, substantial reason to be thoroughly depressed. I mean, try finding some good news. Whether the threat of war, you know, what will Putin do next, and that sort of conversation, if you want that one. Threat from climate change, which might feel very remote until you actually reflect on what's going on in our world, whether the flooding, whether the fires, whether the polar ice caps melting, the sea level rising, you know, all that stuff. Let's not go there, but threats on all sides, economic threats, real nervousness, I know, in our community about how we're going to afford life, how are we going to do it with prices, right? It's real fears. Wherever you look, there are threats about the future. That's how it is. So I want you to know that in God you have total security. So you can say with the psalmist, the Lord's with me, I won't be afraid. What can anybody else fling at me? Got the Lord with us. There may be difficult times, not denying that, but the Lord will be with us. We'll always have reason to rejoice. Friends, I commend to you from this psalm an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude, a steering of your life which says God's going to be at the center of everything. And because it's the center of everything, I will be continually grateful. Because it's at the center of every day, I will know the value of every single day. And because it's at the center of every single day, I'm not going to have fear. Don't need to have fear. Don't need to have anxiety about the future, because God will be with us on the journey. Friends, love the Psalms. Enjoy these weeks as we spend time with the Psalms. But more than anything, enjoy your God who will walk with you as you trust yourself to Him. Let me pray with you. Lord God, our loving Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's faithful. Thank you that it doesn't change. Not like that policeman's book, which is a laugh when we read it now. Your word stands forever. Your word is reliable. So, Lord, help us to build our lives on your word. Lord, give us strength day by day so that we may be a grateful people, living deliberately as a matter of choice with this attitude of gratitude, so that as we live with you and for you, we will value every single day that you give to us and never have any fear as we look to the future, because we know that you will always be there by our side. Lord, we place our lives in your hands and confidently we go forward as we praise you that your Spirit will be with us every step of the way. Lord, hear our prayers and walk with us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.